The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Okay, we got a great show planned for you today. Ironically, both interviews revolve around books, but great books. And we're going to get started with that in just a moment. I just want to make a couple of announcements. First of all, you're the first to know this. You know that I've been trying to get a forum. Many of you have asked for a forum on Superhuman Radio, but managing a forum is an arduous task that requires a lot of manpower and a lot of management. You got to keep flamers and trolls and spammers off of it. You have to manage it. You have to meticulously have forum cooperation. I mean, it's a big job, and it's not something that I was equipped to do. And we were searching for someone to manage our forum. And I just want to let you know that we have agreed and signed a deal with Erin Doherty over at Anabolic Minds, one of the finest bodybuilding, fitness, and nutrition forums out there, over 130,000 members strong. If you are not a member of Anabolic Minds, you need to become one, because we now have a Superhuman Radio forum set up there where you'll be able to post questions, suggest topics, and carry on additional dialogue with the guests of the show after the show is over. There will be a link on the Superhuman Radio website that will say forum. When you click it, it'll open a window that actually resides on Anabolic Minds, and we will now have the Superhuman Radio forum finally. I'm very, very excited about this. Also, I've asked some of you to post your personal stories about how the show has helped you in your goal to become superhuman. Many of you have obliged me and put it on my Facebook, and I want to tell you that this Friday's show will be dedicated to many of you listeners who have taken the time to put your stories up on Facebook. We're going to be interviewing the individual listeners. If you have not taken the time to put your personal story up on my Facebook page so that we can read it and invite you on the show, you're missing out an opportunity to get the kudos you deserve for the progress that you've made in your own life. Go to Facebook. If you're not my friend already, friend me, Carl Lenore, and tell me your story about how Superhuman Radio has impacted you in your journey to become a superhuman. Okay. My first interview, I have two gentlemen on the air with me right now. The book is called Biology for Bodybuilders, Glenn Elmers and Doug Miller. How are you guys doing?
Great. Doing great, Carl.
Cool. And now, just to give people a little background, Glenn, tell me about yourself. How did you get involved in the writing of this book, first of all?
Doug and I are friends, and we've been training together for about 6 years, although I'm not a bodybuilder. I have competed in powerlifting, but my contribution is really I'm the professional writer. I've been a speechwriter for two cabinet secretaries and the chairman of a federal regulatory agency. Before that, I was director of research for a think tank. And I work out, and I also have a strength and conditioning certification from Charles Poliquin, who's
a very
accomplished strength coach.
Sure. So would you consider yourself one of the keepers of the flame of physical culture?
Sure. I never thought to put it that way, but
I am a proponent of physical culture. I don't care why you lift weights. I don't care why you do the things you do, but the idea that you do it is the core belief of this show. Now,
sure.
Now, Doug, on the other hand, you are a very accomplished, champion natural bodybuilder, correct?
That is correct.
Now, when you say that you're natural, do you always get people who look at you and wince and go, oh, come on, how natural is natural?
It's funny. I get it all the time. And, you know, at first I was a little bit insulted by that. But, you know, now I just take it as a compliment. You know, I think it's, I wasn't always this size. I wasn't always this ripped. And, you know, it's taken me a long time over many, many years to develop the physique I have today. And so, you know, I just take it as a compliment. And, you know, I just... I kind of really feel sorry. I mean, I understand people question that, but I kind of feel sorry for them because they, you know, they're just putting limits on what they can actually achieve naturally. So I'm a lifetime drug-free, you know, professional bodybuilder, and, you know, I get urine tested and drug tested and lie detector tested and, you know, all of that. So
and
I don't
quite,
know what more proof
frankly,
they want.
And quite frankly, I'm looking at pictures of you, and I can understand why people would question you because you look equivalent. How much do you weigh?
Competition stage?
Yeah,
on
yeah.
stage, I'm about 190.
I was going to say, you look like any of the guys in the Olympia 202 class.
It's all an illusion.
No, but I mean, I can see why people question you. You really do have a very, very pretty physique. But then I have to say, who was questioning Vince Gironda? I realize he didn't carry the mask, but let's face it. The difference between a drug-using and a drug-free bodybuilder quite often is not necessarily thought to be just the sheer size, because we know you can put on mass, but it's the conditioning, and you have spot-on conditioning.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed over the years is actually, you know, you put up the top, you know, professional drug-free bodybuilders in the world, and you put them up against, you know, like your non-drug-free bodybuilders, and they are just as lean and sometimes leaner than the ones who are filled with, you know, other substances that,
right.
you know, help them get there. So.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. So you guys sat down and you wrote this book, Biology for Bodybuilders. Why?
Maybe I can jump in since it's actually my idea.
Sure.
So I've been training with Doug for about 5 or 6 years. I moved to D.C. I joined a Gold's Gym, and he was by far the biggest, strongest guy in there, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I said, so, got any tips for me? And first thing he said to me was, how many times a day do you eat? I eat 9 times a day. And, you know, we started spotting each other and became training partners and friends. And he knew all this information. I mean, not just about how to work out, but, you know, he has the background in biochemistry and biology as an undergraduate degree. And he has this supplement company. He designs all his own supplements. And he knew all of this stuff that I thought was really interesting. And so one day I just said, you know, Doug, it would be great if we put this down into a book. And it took us about 2 years, and we got a third co-author just to give it a real sound scientific basis, Professor Kevin Fontaine, who's a professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, who made sure we got all the science really good and right.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Doug.
I was just going to jump in there. Yeah, and, you know, I get people asking me all the time, you know, certain questions and tips, and, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to put in this book. I kind of wanted to, you know, kind of talk a little bit about, you know, what things have worked for me, kind of, you know, the methods and lifestyle habits that I use to become, you know, successful as a bodybuilder, because I get asked that all the time. So there's a lot of that in there, a lot of my, you know, personal anecdotes. You know, at the same time, you know, your average gym goer really knows nothing about the biochemical, the biomechanical processes used, you know, to build muscle. Like, what is actually going on? They understand if they go in there and lift weights, you know, they might gain some muscle. But they don't really understand what is going on in the body. And then, you know, if you don't understand what's going on, you don't know how to optimize those things.
Right.
Okay.
And so
let me shoot a couple questions at you real quick, okay?
Sure.
Post-workout nutrition tends to be the focal point for many drug-free and drug-using bodybuilders. What do you think people are doing right? What do you think people are doing wrong when it comes to post-workout nutrition? Doug?
Sure. This is one of my biggest things or biggest pet peeves. I mean, people will come to me and they'll say, hey, I should be, you know, growing here. I take a whey protein post-workout. I tell them, okay, well, that's fine. That's great. You know, it's a nice fast-acting, you know, protein. But, you know, if you gave me the choice between having just a carb or just a protein post-workout, I'd actually just take a carb. You know, I believe that carbs are very anabolic, and post-workout, you know, that insulin spike to replenish the muscle glycogen, to blunt the cortisol release, which is going on in the body, is so crucial. And, you know, I work with clients all over the country, all over the world, actually, and usually within 2 to 3 weeks of making that change, just that one simple change for them, I mean, they can't believe how much stronger, how much recovery, you know, better recovery they're having. So I am a big proponent of a decent amount of carbs.
So, well, okay, so let's explore that, because I recently did a show with Dr. Scott Connolly. I produce a radio show for him called Body RX, and we were talking about hard gainers. And I'm of the opinion that everybody's a hard gainer when you're not doing the right thing.
So that's exactly right.
Okay, so let's look at post-workout nutrition just for a little while longer. Dextrose, good or bad as a post-workout carbohydrate source?
I think one word, good.
Okay. How do you I'm 218 pounds. I'm in the probably around 12 to 14% body fat. How do I figure out how much dextrose I need with my 50 grams of whey protein?
Now that's a more difficult question. So first of all, you know, you may not even need 50 grams of a whey protein. I would probably suggest a little bit lower and go with some more branched chain amino acids in there.
I actually put 10 grams of BCAAs in there as well.
Okay, good. You know, that actually might be a little, I would suggest maybe doing a little bit lower serving of protein with those BCAAs and then eating, you know, a nice meal maybe an hour later.
Okay.
But in terms of the dextrose, I mean, that's a little bit more of a difficult question because, I believe it depends very much on the volume of training. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of actually volume training. You know,
in your approach, you're really burning through glycogen. You're utilizing glycogen, so there's a greater degree of muscle restorage. If you're somebody who's just ambling through a workout, five reps here, five reps there, you're going to have a lot less glycogen to restore.
Exactly.
So it really comes down to that.
And at the end of the day, you know, you kind of have to experiment for yourself. I mean, because some people can utilize those carbs better. They're just more efficient, better at storing that, you know, the muscle glycogen. So it's one of those things you kind of have to, you know, I would probably, somebody like you, and not really knowing your volume of training, I'd probably start you at, you know, maybe 60 grams of some type of carb source and then go plus or minus from that.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. I have more questions for Glenn and Doug. The book is called Biology for Bodybuilders. You can get it at Amazon.com. And if you want to learn more about Doug Miller's supplements, you can go to CoreNutritionals.com. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and TestCharge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only TestCharge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in TestCharge. TestCharge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in TestCharge. TestCharge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find TestCharge today.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Jumping higher, left and more, it's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody about some active coupon codes on superhumanradio.com. If you want to save 50% off your first order of Age Force's Testa 100, use the coupon code SHR4. If you want to save 25% off of peptides, real peptides, at opresource.net, use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25, SUPERHUMAN, the number 2, the number 5. And remember, Dr. Peter Rouse now has a store set up and a special section for Superhuman Radio listeners. You can go there and get all of your supplements at a great discount. Even pet supplements at wholesale prices. Go to afperformancecenter.com, click the store link, and check it out. My guest this hour, Doug Miller and Glenn Elmers, were talking about the book Biology for Bodybuilders. I want to go just a little bit further with post-workout nutrition for a second. Okay,
sure.
Doug?
Sure.
And because the truth of the matter is, I probably train more like Glenn does. I like to do strongman stuff. I like to do, like, I'll give you for instance. Right now, I'm doing a 2-day cycle. I go in day one and I open up with a set of breathing squats. I drop the bar. Well, I rack the bar. I immediately grab 200-pound dumbbells and I do farmer's walks around the gym. And I come back and I grab 250-pound dumbbells and I do plyometric squats where, you know, you squat down and then leap up into the air. Mm-hmm. And I do 4 sets of those. Obviously, I'm not burning a lot of glycogen. It's not that high of volume, but it's fairly heavy. And the rest of my routine looks like that, heavy pushing, heavy pulling. And I do that for about 45 minutes to an hour. Do I need 60 grams of dextrose after that?
I would recommend. I mean, that sounds actually pretty intense to me. I mean, and especially you're a big guy, so you're using more, you know, you're burning through more than, you know, somebody who's smaller. So, I mean, again, I would play with it, but to start off, I would definitely recommend that. I mean, it sounds like an intense workout. I mean, after going an hour like that, I mean, that's...
Yeah, plyometrics especially.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty intense.
You know, and it's funny because I've been finally coming to the realization that I may be too restrictive on my carbohydrate intake. And I'm actually starting to experiment more with carbohydrates right now. So that's why this is perfect.
Do you find yourself a little bit sensitive to carbs in general?
Hell yeah. I become hyperinsulinemic. If I eat carbs, I don't sleep well at night. My ears start to ring. I mean, I just assumed that I was hyperinsulinemic because I'm 53 years old. I'm of Mediterranean background. And, you know, maybe that's just my genetics. But maybe it's because I am too restrictive on my carbohydrates.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you can also try, I find that some people respond very well to like a dextrose, and some people also respond very well to a, you know, a lower glycemic, you know, slower digesting carb, like just even like oats, you know. So especially like when I'm getting close to a show, I actually make that switch. I like to control my insulin a little bit more, and switch over to something like, you know, a cup of oats post-workout, like immediately post-workout.
You know what works for me really well, and I forgot all about it because I have been so anti-carb for so many years now. But back in the day when I was powerlifting, I used to use single grain baby food rice powder.
Yeah.
And I would put that in with my whey protein and my creatine, and I would drink that immediately after my workout. So it's a little slower than dextrose, but it's still pretty fast.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I highly recommend that. I mean, even when, you know, I'm bringing clients in to get ready for a show and myself, you know, even when carbs are restricted, they are always going to have carbs post-workout. I mean, it's just, I mean, that's really a necessity. I mean, your training can go downhill quick if you don't do that.
Yeah, okay. All right,
hey, so Carl, have you thought about, I'm paleo too, and so is our third co-author, Lo Douglas, but I do sweet potato. after, which is a nice paleo carb source.
I just introduced sweet potato again and potatoes. This weekend I had my first sweet potato in probably a year.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've really become, you know why? Because I thought I became, part of the problem is this with me, and I don't want to get too far off the book, but I went on HRT in 2007, and a lot of things changed for me, and I started to, and it was Dr. Connolly who taught me that higher levels of testosterone can actually precipitate some insulin resistance, and it's natural. That's why you don't store fat, because you become insulin resistant specifically in certain tissue, not in muscle, but in fat. But anyway, so I started to cut back on my carbs back then, purposely to avoid any potential for hyperinsulinemia. But I think that the question you asked a moment ago, Doug, was very spot on. It's a question I've been asking myself. Am I not carbohydrate intolerant now because I have cut out so much in the way of carbohydrates of my diet?
I mean, one of the things I would do is slowly start to introduce. I mean, it's kind of like the same thing. I mean, you're kind of in a point where, you know, somebody's coming off of a contest prep. You know, they're very low carb. So to kind of see how you're going to respond, I would slowly start adding those, you know, paleo approved carbs back in for you.
Yeah.
You know, and just see how you respond. I mean, one of the biggest mistakes a lot of bodybuilders do is they'll just, you know, go, you know, crazy with their carbs the week after show, and they put on 40 pounds of fat essentially.
Right.
You know, and you know, that's, so I would start to slow. What I do is I slowly add, you know, kind of reverse diet. So just as you took away those carbs, slowly start introducing them. So first introduce them, you know, post-workout, and then maybe a little bit more pre-workout, and then a little bit more breakfast.
Right.
And see how you respond.
Okay. Let's talk about foods now. I'm gonna point this question at Doug, but, but, you know, Glenn, feel free to jump in here.
Okay.
Obviously the manipulation of macronutrients and even specific foods, because specific foods have different effects. Obviously, we're not all bomb calorimeters. We know that. The hormones play a large role in what happens with food. How important are the foods that you choose as a natural bodybuilder, and what are your go-to foods?
I mean, I'm glad you asked that, because recently in the natural bodybuilding world, there's actually been a lot of debate amongst, you know, trainers or the gurus of a lot of the people out there. And there's really two schools. One is, you know, the just hit your macros for the day and you can eat whatever food you want, you know, processed junk, as long as you're hitting your macros. I'm from the other school, which is the foods you eat are very important. And I've seen for myself and many of my clients transform their bodies eating much what we would call cleaner foods, your traditional bodybuilding foods, you know, fresh, you know, broccoli and asparagus, you know, sweet potatoes, brown rice, lean ground turkey, beef, you know, high quality protein shakes, things of that nature, as opposed to eating, you know, Pop-Tarts and
McDonald's
and things like that.
Yeah,
exactly.
McDonald's and stuff. Where do you stand, and I'm going to point this at you, Glenn, because it sounds like you're like me, you have a more paleo style of eating. Where do you stand on dairy?
I'm not dogmatically opposed to it, but just as an N1, it doesn't agree with me, so I don't use it.
How about raw? Have you ever tried raw unpasteurized dairy?
I did try it. I went to a Weston Price conference in Pennsylvania last year, and I tried it, but it's hard to get access to here in D.C.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely in D.C. You got all those politicians trying to outlaw it all the time. you think these poor farmers, they treat them like crack dealers. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But regular pasteurized milk just doesn't agree with me.
How about you, Doug?
In moderation, I usually take it out of most people's diets. I think it's, you don't need it, so why drink it? And I think a lot of people will come a little bit bloated from it. I think
I've heard several drug-using pro bodybuilders tell me that milk or dairy makes your skin thick, and maybe what they really mean is it causes a greater deposit of adipose tissue. You believe that?
I don't know if I would say it makes your skin thick, but it can bloat you a little bit more than other things. So I really believe that a lot of people are slightly lactose intolerant. Maybe not like they can't handle it, but you know, they are somewhat lactose intolerant, and they just don't even know it. And it causes them to retain a little bit of water. So I try to take that out of the equation. So I'm not a huge proponent of milk. Like, I'm not going to just sit down and drink a glass of milk.
What? Yeah. Now, you eat nine times a day, Doug?
That might have been a little bit of exaggeration, but pretty close. You know, I'm probably 7 or 8, and you
so
know,
you're one of those guys that doesn't go over 3 hours with a meal.
I am not so crazy. When I first started out, you know, like 2.5 hours, I got to eat, and I actually found that that was stressing me out and raising my cortisol level.
Right.
You know, higher than. You know, so it was actually hurting me more than if I would have just kind of chill out and relax a little bit more. So I'm a little bit, you know, especially on the weekends, you know, I may sometimes go out to 4 hours, but that's very rare. And I try not to get too caught up in that.
You ever wake up in the middle of the night for a meal?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, when I'm dieting for a show and, you know, sometimes I'll wake up and just throw down a protein shake real quick.
Don't you think the interference in the normal sleep pattern has a greater deleterious effect than the protein synthetic response of that meal?
I do, but the thing problem with me is I drink so much water that
yeah,
I am
gotta
up,
get up
in
and
the
pee
middle
anyway.
Of the night.
Yeah.
I'm up 3 or 4 times a night, so it's like it, and I can just fall right. I put my head on the pillow and I'm back asleep. So
we do talk quite a bit in the book about the importance of sleep, though. So that's a good point that you bring up, Carl, and we do discuss that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people that if I'm not getting my 8 hours of sleep, I really don't function. And I think a lot of people think they can, you know, just load up on stims. And, you know, we talk about that recovery process and what is actually going on in your body and why that sleep is so important. So it's definitely a good point and something that people need to pay attention to.
Obviously, Glenn, it was your objective to take, you know, so many bodybuilders like Doug are really walking geniuses when it comes to nutrition and the ability to build muscle. But you had to kind of distill all of this down and focus on the real takeaway, hard-hitting points of everything, right?
Right, yeah, that was the idea. I mean, the idea is really to make it a practical discussion of some scientific processes, metabolic functions, pathways, systems, and apply them in sort of real world, discuss them in a sort of real world way of why it's useful for athletes to know this. And you don't have to be a bodybuilder. I mean, anyone who works out, anyone who's dieting or just wants to, you know, look better, feel better, can profit from this. So it's a mix of just explaining these things and then sharing, as Doug said, his approaches, because people are always curious about that, you know, training intensity, volume. There's a long discussion, which was actually an interview between me and Doug, on the mind-muscle connection, which is something Vince Gironda, which you mentioned
right, a
moment ago, was really big on.
Yeah. Well, look, let's do this. We're going to take a commercial break in just a minute. And when we come back, I'd like to explore that whole mind-muscle connection, because I think it goes out the window when somebody refocuses themselves on trying to lift as heavy as they can. And I know this for myself. There becomes what I like to call noise in the brain, where you're so distracted and freaked out by what you're about to do, that you make no connection. As a matter of fact, I remember when I was powerlifting, I remember going through complete workouts and not really remembering each rep. You know, just because I was so freaked out about what I was about to do. Am I going to blow a disc? Am I going to blow a heart valve? Am I going to drop this weight and everyone's going to look at me like I'm a freak? And you're just so, adrenalated that you don't make any connection, never mind with the muscles that are doing the work.
Right.
So, you know, and I guess that's when it becomes a decision you have to make. Do I want to be, like, do I want to really be strong, or do I want to stimulate this muscle? And that's where the divide comes, I think, for a lot of people. And I want to say something real quick before we go into this next break. There's probably a lot of people who saw the byline for today's show and they didn't tune in, because my show is about anti-aging, about fitness, about nutrition, about health. But I've said this time and time again on the show, muscle is metabolic currency. A lot of people yep. save as much money as they can, so that when they quote unquote retire, they're going to be safe. They're going to have a safe haven of financial stability so that they can live out the rest of their lives. What they forget is muscle is metabolic currency. You can have $1 million in the bank, but if you can't get out of your chair, guess where that million's going to go? It's going to go to a nursing home that's going to change your diaper every day. So for those of you who are listening to the show going, okay, Carl, we really don't want to know about bodybuilding. Yes, you do. Who do you want to learn from to play a piano? The kid next door who plays just a little bit better than you, or somebody who plays for a living with the Philharmonic? You want to learn from somebody who plays for a living with the Philharmonic. Who do you want to learn the techniques to gain muscle quickly and effectively? From some gym rat who's been in the gym as long as you and hasn't changed, or from somebody like Doug who makes a living at doing this? Of course. So whether or not you ever plan on sporting a banana hammock and getting on top of a stage is irrelevant. We all need this muscle to get through our lives. And here is a book that can help you get there faster. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up the interview. We're talking about Biology for Bodybuilders. You can get the book at Amazon.com. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
J.R. Sean Kingston.
Your way to beautiful girl.
You've got to read my co-host Elisa Profumo's blog today, where she posts a recipe how to make healthy homemade ginger ale in minutes. Natural ginger ale has both chemoprotective and anti-inflammatory benefits, tastes great, cool you off and quench your thirst in the summertime. Give it to your children instead of soda or fruit juice, which is laden with nothing but high fructose corn syrup. Go to superhumanradio.com today and read Elisa's blog, How to Create Homemade Ginger Ale in Minutes. Great stuff. I've been drinking it all weekend. I love this stuff. It's really good. Okay.
Carl, before we move on, you were talking about something, or made a really good point before the
break.
Commercial break.
Sure.
Here, and we want to make it very clear that we struggled with the title of this book for a long time, and yeah. We came to Biology for Bodybuilders, but you know, really, it's kind of more along the lines of biochemistry of muscle building. You know, so we want to make it clear that, you know, this book is, I think anyone can really benefit from this book. Like you said, anyone who's, how did you put it? Living had the flame inside of you for this,
physical culture. Sure. Physical
exactly.
culture.
Exactly. Yeah. So I really think that, you know, anyone who really is just trying to better themselves or have a better understanding of what is going on in their body so they can, you know, adapt the routine and make adjustments to maximize their muscle growth, I think they can really benefit from this.
You know,
that was
we have a very large female listenership. Mm-hmm. And the women are under the misimpression because of all of the bad information that's put out there by women's magazines. And I have to tell you, most of the women's magazines don't get it. Even the women's fitness magazines don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Poor women get bad messages, relegating them to hours and hours of cardio, thinking that they're going to reshape their body. And given the misinformation that lifting weights builds mass and will make them look like men. And I just had Dr. Cassandra Forsythe on last week. She's a professor at University of Connecticut. She's written two great books. You know, lift and the title of her, one of her books is Lift Like a Man, Look Like a Goddess.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, women need to understand when we talk about – and I actually did a show. I think it was 3 years ago. I did a show, maybe it was four, with Lee Labrada. And I analyzed the word bodybuilding, where it's one word, and the two words bodybuilding. And people have to understand that a bodybuilder is someone who builds his body or her body professionally for competition. But you can learn a lot. Just like when you watch Bob Vila, who makes a living building homes, he teaches you how to repair your own home. Who do you want to learn from? You want to learn from some schlep or you want to learn from somebody like Bob Vila? He builds homes for a living. And I use the word, the analogy building homes for a reason. Your body is your home. You can't replace it. You can't evacuate it and buy a new one because the old one sucks. You have to keep it repaired, and repairing it isn't enough. You have to keep upgrading it. And you know how you upgrade it? You keep adding muscle. That's the equivalent of going in and ripping out your kitchen and putting a new kitchen in. That's the equivalent of building an addition on your home. It's called muscle. And
yeah,
where else
metaphor.
Are you going to learn that? From a bodybuilder, somebody who does it for a living. So that's it. That's my my rant.
Preach on. You have
well, you know,
I'm with you.
It's sad because so many people have this negative stigma about bodybuilders, and they forget that they have the knowledge of how to build your body instead of letting it break down. So
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head when you were talking about women. I mean, I work with a lot of women, and my wife is she's a drug-free professional figure competitor, and she works with women all the time. And you know, they're like, I want to have your legs. I want to have your arms. You know, I want to look like you. And then they say, well, I don't want to lift heavy weights. And, you know, my wife trains harder than most of the guys in the gym.
I know.
And she's very feminine looking. So that's women that they're starting to get the message, because if they just don't have the hormones that men have to to bring them to the levels of you know, being bulky.
Unless they're taking exogenous testosterone, they're just not going to get that bulky.
Right. And you want to know the truth? I think like my co-host on the show on Casual Friday, Elisa Profumo. She trains as hard as guys train. She squats, she deadlifts, she does everything that you see guys doing. And she is one of the most feminine, most beautiful women I've ever seen. Okay, she definitely has upper separation in her upper arms and shoulders, but it doesn't look like a guy's shoulders and arms. It looks like an athletic woman. She looks like a really healthy athletic woman.
Right.
Yep.
And you know,
that message really needs to get out.
Yes, strong has to be the new sexy now. Strong is the new sexy. I mean, forget about all these waifish-looking women who, by the time they're 50 and 60, won't be able to get out of their own chairs. You know what? We know that doesn't work. Look at our parents. You know. So anyway, okay.
Can I make one last point on the point of everyone can build their bodies in the sense of building their homes? And there's really almost nothing in the book about preparing for a bodybuilding competition. It's just stuff that, you know, how does the muscle grow? How does the nervous system work? What do the hormones do?
And that's my next question. I want to know. There's so much debate about does strength follow hypertrophy? Does hypertrophy follow strength? Can you weigh in on that, either of you? Are they mutually exclusive of each other?
Novices, neural adaptation occurs first, and so there'll be an uptick in strength before you see muscle growth.
Okay.
For more advanced lifters, I don't know, Doug.
This is what I try to tell people, not to get too caught up in that. You know, I try to tell them every time you go in the gym, you need to stimulate yourself you know, further than you did last time. So for me, it's all about intensity. Whether that's, you know, one extra rep, meaning you're getting stronger, going up in weight, meaning you're getting stronger, doing things with less rep, you know, less rest, you know, all of these different, you know, ways to stimulate, you know, hypertrophy. I mean, this is what you need to do. And I try to tell people not to get too caught up in the strength game, but at the same time, it's also very important to, you know, keep that log and try to, you know, push past what you did before. If you're not getting stronger on anything, there's a good chance that you're also not getting bigger.
Right.
Or, you know, building muscle.
And when you say stronger, like you said, strength can be weighed out and more weight lifted or more repetitions or less rest in between or all of the above.
Right? Exactly. I mean, the total weight volume, you know, of that, you know, of the workout.
Are you a fan, Glenn, I'll ask this to you because you come from the strength side of the industry. Are you a fan of totals? People saying, okay, I did 15 reps with 10 pounds, that's 150 pounds. I did three sets, that's 450 pounds I moved in that particular move. Are you a fan of that type of calibrated?
I personally don't ever track my lifts that way. And by the way, I do have done powerlifting, but I also will do the higher volume stuff when I'm training with Doug. And just to give you an idea of what that means, talk about glycogen depletion. I filmed him doing a workout, back workout a couple weeks ago. He deadlifted four or five, so four plates on each side, for 30 reps.
Wow.
That's one set out of a workout that lasts over an hour.
Wow.
So that's hypertrophy and strength.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, getting back to your direct question there, I mean, I think looking at the totals that way is kind of meaningless because I think everyone is better at certain. So my high-end lifts are not very great. You know, I am not. My one rep max. Of, you know, bench press isn't very high. My one rep max of deadlift is not super high. But, you know, I can do a pretty heavy weight, you know, for a lot of reps. So I am, you know, I've learned through time that my body responds in the way that my muscle fiber makeup is, you know, I respond better to, you know, higher reps. And so my weight training is usually always, like my back workouts are always in the 10 to 20 rep range.
Really?
You know, I do a lot of 20 rep sets. Now deadlifts, you know, that was just we were goofing around and we just wanted to get it up on YouTube just to cause a stir. So we videotaped that. But, my deadlift, you know, training is even usually right around the 10 rep range. And, you know, I can do, you know, 545 for about 10. But,
that's,
you know,
great.
Then if I tried to put seven plates on there, you know, I would really struggle. So, you know, I think it really, you know, looking at a total, it's so individual that, I mean, that's a very hard thing to do. But as long as you're beating your own personal totals,
yeah.
You know, I think that's, you know, what.
Can
you
I add one real quick thing?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
We do talk a lot in the book about experimenting and finding out what works for you because people, as Doug said, do have different muscle fiber distribution and
right.
Do have different ways of adapting. I don't know if you know this powerlifter, Konstantin Konstantinov.
Yes.
He looks mightily impressive. He looks almost like a bodybuilder, and I bet he never trains above three rep max sets.
Yeah, Marius Pozanowski is another one.
Right.
Marius looks like a bodybuilder.
Singles and doubles.
Yeah, and Marius looks like he could step on stage with any of them, and
right.
The guy is super strong. And you're right, he probably does three, four reps of everything, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, we will finish up the interview with Glenn Elmers and Doug Miller. You can get the book, Biology for Bodybuilders, at Amazon.com. You can also visit CoreNutritionals.com to learn more about Doug Miller's supplements. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMs DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
If you have not tried Kodiak Cream yet, you can get a free trial sample. It's about 6 applications. If you go to superhumanradio.com, all the way down at the bottom of the page, you'll see a banner to get a free sample of Kodiak Cream. Kodiak Cream works. I've tried it. I told you, I pulled my soleus muscle sprinting one day. It was so painful, I couldn't walk home. I got home and I rubbed this stuff on. Elisa said, why don't you try it? I did. And literally, like 10 minutes later, the pain went away. I was astounded. I kept saying to myself, could it be? Could it really be from this cream? There's nothing artificial in it, no pharmaceuticals, no NSAIDs. This stuff is all natural, and it works. Get a free sample of Kodiak Cream by visiting superhumanradio.com and go to the bottom of the page. Okay, my guests, Glenn Elmers, Doug Miller, we're talking about the book Biology for Bodybuilders. Sorry about that. Doug, I want to move to supplements real quick, okay?
Sure.
You cover supplements in the book at all?
Yeah, we touch on some of those aspects, but we don't get into a detailed review of kind of the pros and cons and, you know, the absolute essentials, but we do certainly talk about the ones that are most important for pre, during, and post workout.
Okay. How do you feel about creatine monohydrate?
I think it's probably the best and most proven form of creatine. I think it works, you know.
Okay.
It's a lot better than some of the other, you know, fancy, more expensive creatines out there.
Okay. How about beta-alanine? Either of you weigh in on this.
Beta-alanine's great. You know, I've seen firsthand the endurance benefits from beta-alanine.
Do you think beta-alanine is good for lifters over endurance guys? I mean, will it allow, in combination with creatine, it seems to be the dynamic duo. Do you think the two of them together really allow you to push the envelope a little further than you normally would be able to?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, beta-alanine is actually, and creatine are two, you know, endurance supplements that a lot of endurance athletes don't use because they think of creatine, you know, more for, you know, that's kind of has like a bodybuilding, you know, stigma to it. But, you know, I own a supplement store and I have people walking in all the time and, you know, we've switched a couple endurance athletes onto, you know, some of the more, you know, bodybuilding type supplements marketed to bodybuilders. And, you know, the results they've seen from just basic creatine monohydrate and beta alanine have been great.
You know what's really interesting? And I have no way of validating what I'm about to say, but it came from a very, very, very good source. The Korean speed skating team, what year was that they medaled 8 out of 11 events? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I kind of remember that. I don't know how you
They had all been using beta alanine that season, and now the Korean speed skating team uses beta alanine all the time. So, and you know, the interesting thing about beta alanine was it was overshadowed because it was discovered around the same time androstenedione hit the market. So, you know, the testosterone-producing hormone was much sexier than this amino acid that quenches hydrogen ions and pushes muscles further out in the lactate threshold. And so people thought, well, you know, who cares about that when you can, like, hit home runs like Mark McGwire?
Exactly.
But Doug's core ABC, which is his BCA formula from his product line, actually has beta-alanine in it.
Really? Absolutely. So you add beta-alanine to your BCAs?
Yeah, so we have a product called Core ABC, and it stands for amino acids, beta-alanine, citrulline, malate. So basically, it's got all your three branched-chain amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, valine, and also glutamine, citrulline, malate, and beta-alanine. And so, you know, I sip on it all day long just because I can. And, you know, I recommend people having, you know, a couple scoops before their workout and actually sip on it during their workout, keep them very anabolic and, you know, help increase that endurance. And, you know, people just absolutely love it.
I've been doing a series of shows on amino acids. We just did our second episode in the series last week, and it's all about L-arginine, alpha-ketoglutarate, and what's the other one? You just said citrulline malate.
Yep.
You know, there's some really remarkable things that it does. More so than we think. I mean, much more so than the pump or any of that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think, you know, there's a lot of your pre-workout drinks, like the NO Explodes and all those, you know, they started out, you know, having just, you know, arginine, alpha-ketoglutarate and things of that nature. And, you know, now a lot of them are switching to using citrulline instead.
Right.
You know, I think there's been some studies showing it's more effective, is a pre-workout in a pre-workout supplement. So,
yeah.
That's the exciting part now. I mean, I'm a big fan of supplements. I love staying current and researching, you know, for my own product line, but also for myself. I mean, I design products with such a selfish, you know, aspect, you know, because I'm going to be using them. So there's a lot of promising science out there.
I have some questions about more supplements, but I want to ask you this question first. Gaining muscle and burning fat, are they mutually exclusive? Can you really do them both at the same time?
I think you can if you're a beginner.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, somebody who's more advanced, that's a very, very difficult thing if you're not having, you know, using some type of exogenous hormone.
Or like T3 or clenbuterol or some sort of agent that's going to ramp up the disposal of fat.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. But for an overweight, untrained person, sure.
I mean, I think they go through recomposition, you know, basically building muscle, losing fat at the same time. You know, for a period of time until you get to a more leaner, you know, kind of set point.
You think it's because the body goes, okay, we've humored your exercise here, but that's as far as we're going to go. We want to keep the rest of this fat. I mean, you think as simple as that?
I mean, I guess you could think of it that way, but I think there's, you know, I think when people start getting leaner, you know, the leaner you get, the more difficult it is to be building muscle and losing fat. So I think a lot of it has to do with kind of, you know, your total body fat.
Okay, here's a question directed specifically to you, Doug. And I also want to mention something. What the competition that you won is the Chet Yorton competition?
Sure.
It was the
IFPA, which is like the pro division of the OCB, the IFPA Yorton Cup World Championship, and that was the Yorton comes from Chet Yorton, who is kind of like the grandfather of natural bodybuilding.
Right, and his daughter and son-in-law are one of the owners of Orbit not Orb, I'm sorry, Quest Protein, and you can get two free Quest Protein bars at superhumanradio.com. Just go and click the banner ad, and just for the asking, they'll send you one of each, the vanilla almond and the peanut butter. And these are by far the best protein bars in the world. I eat 5 to 7 of them a day, and I'm not lying. I'm not kidding. I ate 3 right before the show with my 50 grams of whey protein.
Yeah, I mean, I consider most bars to be junk, but not the Quest bars. They're the one. I mean, they rarely have very few ingredients, and they're all, you know, it's all very, you know, clean ingredients, not a lot of additives at all. Yeah. Super high in fiber. They're great bars.
Yeah, delicious. Okay, which leads me to this next question. As a natural bodybuilder, what is off limits for you? Obviously, there's lots of things that are available, quote unquote, over the counter, such as some of my advertisers, Super DMZ, which is a Superdrol. These are clearly anabolic steroids.
Yep.
Do you steer clear to those, or do you say, well, look, if they're selling it over the counter, it's still available for me to use?
No. That's so the IFPA is a pretty strict banned substance list, and you know I heard that commercial, and DMZ is definitely a banned substance.
Right.
Pretty much, you know, all of those, anything that you would consider hormonal, you know, is a banned substance. So you know, all the pro hormones, like the, you know, the one test and the, you know, the
1AD, the M1T,
all those things are banned substances.
So, and they're banned. Now, what about things like peptides?
That's, you get into a little bit more of a gray area. I mean, you know, HGH and IGF-1 and all those things are, you know, specifically banned on the substance list. Now, there's some, you know, I've just read an article the other day about some of these other types of peptides that they're coming out with. I'm not super familiar with those, but, you know, if they aren't already on the banned list, they will be.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. It's pretty much if you're adding, you know, anything that's, you know, an exogenous, you know, hormone, and, you know, I don't understand that these are peptides, but anything that's going to really give you, you know, an unfair advantage. I mean,
anything that your body's not producing on its own. Period. End of story.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much true.
But the reality is, and you're living proof of this. You don't need it anyway. I mean, I mean, look how swollen and ripped you are, and clearly you didn't need to turn to that sort of stuff to get there. It comes down to training and nutrition. So the old adage, it's 20% training and 80% nutrition. Do you agree with that statement?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely the case. I mean, it's taken me years and years, and I literally live, you know, the lifestyle 24/7, 365. So, you know, it's taken me a long time to get there. You know, if I was using exogenous substances, you know, they have a little bit more of a, you know, leeway. You know, they can not be as strict and still make great gains.
Do you know Joshua Trentine?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Josh is a natural bodybuilder also, and he has been eating raw food, raw meat, raw chicken, raw eggs, raw milk, nothing but raw. He's been working with my friend Randy Roach up in Canada. We did a show with him last year, middle of last year. He put on 25 pounds of lean mass, and I have pictures of him. I had them up on the Facebook page, too. In 5 months, he's coming back on the show, I think the 23rd of this month, to give us an update. He's continued to make those kind of gains eating raw food.
I heard about that raw stuff, but...
Well, that eating raw chicken, I mean, I'll save that for him. If I don't put on a pound or two of muscle because of that, then that's my mistake.
But, yeah, and actually, there's a show up on Superhuman Radio, one of the most listened to shows, is Raw Food as Effective as Anabolic Steroids in Gaining Muscle. And to this day, it gets downloaded by people. And I have people who are like for instance, a female IFBB figure competitor. I'm going to forget her name, Catherine Ramirez. She started eating raw food because of that show, and she told me that it made it changed her body completely. So I'm just interesting. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
I am right. Making steak tartare this weekend.
There you go.
Paleo cookout group. So
there you go.
There you go.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. Especially if you use grass-fed beef that you can find from a local farmer.
That's the only kind I would do it with, is good grass-fed beef.
Good, good. I'm glad you're supporting local sources. That's great. All right, so let's do this. Let's plug the book one more time. The book is called Biology for Bodybuilders. You can get it at Amazon.com. How much does it cost?
$19.95 plus tax and shipping and handling. Can I just throw in one more thing?
Please.
We never got back to the mind-muscle connection, and a lot of people think that's their favorite chapter of the book. So for people who have trouble sort of bringing mental focus and energy to their workouts, there's a lot of neat sort of tips and tricks in that chapter. And then for people who are more ambitious, we've got a bibliography with about 35 books and articles that, for someone who wants to really delve into it, gives a lot more information.
Okay. Great, great book. I really like what you guys are doing. We'll have you back on the show sometime again, okay?
Thanks, Carl.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carl.
Thanks for being on. All right, stay
okay.
tuned. When we come back, we'll have Alex Hutchison on, and we're going to discuss this concept of what comes first, cardio or weightlifting. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Don't miss this week's Casual Friday, when we will be showcasing you, the listeners who feel that Superhuman Radio has helped you change your life, helped you become more of a superhuman yourself. We'll be telling your stories. We'll be letting you tell your story. If you have not posted your personal journey and experience on my Facebook page. Do it today. Friend me, Carl Lenore, on Facebook, and put your story there. How did Superhuman Radio help you reach or get closer to your goals as a superhuman? Who knows? You could be famous. Okay. My next guest is Alex Hutchinson. He is a physicist and award-winning journalist and the author of a book that really piqued my interest called Which Comes First, Cardio or Weights? How you doing, Alex?
Hey, not too bad. How are you, Carl?
Good, good. You know, this is really a subject of discussion in every gym amongst everybody who thinks they know anything about exercise. I think it was a great title, too, because it really does kind of crystallize some of the simple myths, if you will, that permeate people's desire to achieve a certain body type through exercise. So I'm going to come right out and ask you, which does come first, cardio or weights?
My editor actually picked the title, and she was very smart because it does pique interest. But it's a hard question to answer.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It's always the first question. But as I'm sure you know, it really depends on your goals, right?
Yeah. And,
what was most interesting for me is finding out that that our bodies basically have a cardio switch and a weight switch on a molecular level. Either we're adapting to build bigger muscles or to enhance endurance. And we can't be in both modes at once, and we can't switch instantly. So the real message is, you know, whatever you're most focused on, if you want to build big muscles, you need to start with that, not just because you'll be freshest, but also because, you know, if you go for a run and then start hitting the weights, your body's still trying to enhance endurance instead of build strength.
Where does this switch reside? Is it in the brain, or is it on a neuromuscular level?
It's in the muscles. It's something called AMP kinase, and I have to admit we'd be getting a little bit above my pay grade to explain exactly how it works. But what it's deciding is, are we going to build more mitochondria in the muscle cell, or are we going to focus on expanding the size and number of muscle fibers?
Wow. So this is a good a question then, because here's something interesting on a personal note. I've always done 10 to 20 minutes of elliptical cardio before my weight training because I believed that it stimulated certain processes in my body that primed me for exercise, including getting my heart rate up. But I have a lot of good friends who say, look, you can easily do that same thing starting out with your primary movement with a light weight and doing high repetitions, but at least you're doing the work as opposed to doing something foreign like cardio. So I started doing that. I don't warm up doing cardio any longer. So is that a better, if my goal is hypertrophy and strength and not cardiovascular endurance, did I make a good decision?
I think that is a good decision. That's what the research is telling us. I mean, I think it's not black and white, right? So you know, people ask me, hey, you know, I jog to the gym and it takes me 5 minutes to get there. Am I messing up my workout? And I don't think that, you know, I think it's a question of degrees. So if you do 5-10 minutes of steady warm-up, maybe it takes the first 5 minutes of your strength workout to kind of really get into the zone for hypertrophy.
Right.
But if you go for an hour run, that, or, you know, an hour on the elliptical or something, that's a different story.
So, okay, under those auspices, then should you be separating your cardiovascular training from your weight training? And if so, how many hours does it even matter as long as you're just not doing them both in the same session?
Yeah, I don't think they've managed this is really new research over the last few years, so I don't think they've got the guidelines fully down. But I would say, again, you have to think carefully about what your goals are. And if your goal is hypertrophy, then it's not a big deal if you're doing your cardio after your weights, because we're talking about, you know, this is for people who are looking for that last, you know, 5% or whatever.
Right.
So
right.
if your goal is in one of those pump and run competitions where you want to slam some big weights and then be able to run 5K as fast as you can, then you might want to think about separating those, separating your workouts out morning to evening or morning to afternoon.
Okay, here's some of the questions that we dug up on the internet related to, and these may have been actually promoted on one of your book websites. Should I exercise when I'm sick? I have. There's been times where I have and times where I have. There's been times where I went in to do a heavy back routine, feeling the onset of what was probably the flu, and I thought to myself, if I get in there and train really hard, I'll probably blow the illness out of the water, somehow reverse the illness, and it didn't work out for me. So what is your opinion? Should I train on days that I feel sick or just take off?
Well, there's some interesting research on this. There's only one set of studies that I know of where they actually infected people with flu viruses and then had some of them work out and had some of them not work out. Actually, it was with cold viruses, I'm sorry. And the results seem to suggest it doesn't really make a big difference in the study that they did, although the people who did exercise actually ended up feeling a little better a little bit sooner.
Mm.
But the more interesting stuff more recently is studies with mice where they have, it's a little easier to find mice to volunteer to get infected with the virus and then make them work out with or without the infection. And it seems like it's like we've known all along that there's what they call a J-curve response to exercise. So a little bit of exercise makes your immune system get stronger, and a lot of exercise eventually makes it get weaker. And it can be a single bout of exercise. If you inject a virus into a mouse and then have them go run on their little wheel for half an hour, they are going to fight off that infection more effectively than someone who doesn't get to run on the wheel.
But if you make them do something like drop them in water and let them swim for their lives for a while, which is going to be a much more arduous and intense exercise, they're actually tapping into their immune system for the recovery process of that exercise and pulling away from healing themselves from the illness.
That's absolutely right, and that's the same thing you see if you study groups of people who get a lot of exercise, they get fewer colds. But if you study a group of marathon runners who are running 100 miles a week, they get more colds.
Exactly. I was once told by a gentleman who works with Olympic athletes that Olympic athletes at any moment in time are on the verge of being ill because they push their bodies to such a great extreme that their immune system is really hampered from fighting off little things like colds.
That's absolutely right, because they're pushing right to that razor edge, and they always want to be one step from collapsing, basically.
I love this book, and I'll tell you why I love it, because I love things that bust myths wide open, and you've really done an amazing job in doing a lot of research into the science. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Alex Hutchinson. His book is called Which Comes First, Cardio or Weights? You can get it at Amazon.com. Really cool book. We're going to be discussing more subjects in just a moment. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com.
Branch chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at trueprotein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank
bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Talking today with Alex Hutchinson about his book, Which Comes First, Cardio or Weights. What made you write this book, Alex?
Well, I come from a science background. I was a physicist, and I was also a runner on the national team. And so I was looking for a way to combine my interests in training and science. And so I basically spent the last 3 years as a journalist writing about the science and the evidence behind different kinds of training.
Well, you know what's funny? We have a physicist named Dr. Andro on our staff that does a variety of different shows. You physicists are real sticklers for facts, aren't you? I mean, no, you guys don't like to go out on the limb and just postulate anything, huh?
That's exactly the physicist mindset. You nailed it.
Yeah. Okay. So, which leads me to the next question. Since you're a runner, I've said time and time again, humans were never designed to run long distances. We're probably more predator type animals like a cheetah, where we were designed to burst into speed, run, maybe grab something, tackle it to the ground, and after that, walk back carrying it behind us. What about all this long? You see people today running 5, 6, 7 miles. I used to do it 2 years ago. Is it good for us?
That's a hot debate. I mean, there are different evolutionary theories now. A lot of people are talking about maybe we were actually born to track antelopes for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours until they collapse in the sun, whereas we have no hair on us, so we're able to sweat better and deal with the heat. So I would counter that argument by saying, hey, maybe we were designed to run. But at the same time, I think actually there's a lot of evidence that, like you said, we also are designed for short bursts of speed and strength, and it's a mistake to just go out and run really slowly. You need to do some high intensity.
Will running year after year after year eventually wear your knees out the way your shock absorbers wear out in your car?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There have been a bunch of longitudinal studies now dating back to the 80s. You can tell I get hot under the collar about this.
Yeah.
I hear people all the time, oh, aren't you worried you're going to ruin your knees? Now, there have been at least 3 or 4 good longitudinal studies for 20 years where they take, say, you know, 500 runners and 500 matched controls and just say, okay, let's see who gets the most arthritis 20 years from now. And the runners do better than the non-runners.
Do you think? But do you think it's also because as runners, they take certain supplements or do certain things that are designed? You know, I think people who don't do anything at all also are a of the ilk where they don't take vitamins, they don't take glucosamine and chondroitin, they don't do a lot of things that kind of go part and parcel in not being active. And then you take runners. They probably eat more organics. They probably take glucosamine and chondroitin because they are concerned. They want to be able to run for the rest of their lives, so they take care of their knees. You think there's any truth to that?
There's definitely issues with with some selection bias, and the runners definitely have some more healthy behaviors. I think the number one factor is probably putting on weight. If you put on weight, not only is it putting extra load on your joints, so that's going to hurt them, but there's evidence now that fat in your body contributes to these inflammatory molecules that are circulating throughout your body, and that those have some role in the development of arthritis.
Sure, sure.
So it's not just being heavy; it's being fat. It just makes your whole body a less healthy internal environment. So You know, there could be a lot of different factors at play, but the bottom line is if you and just to sort of branch to some other sports here, there were a lot of studies that said, oh, you know, if you were a high level soccer player or whatever, you know, whatever sport you look at, the higher level you were at, the more likely you might develop arthritis, you know, 20 years later. But when they drill down into that data, the people who develop arthritis are the ones who actually sustained knee injuries. So if you're playing soccer and you tear your ACL or something, then yeah, you're more likely to have arthritis. But if you don't have a and runners don't tend to tear their ACL, so it's if exercise on its own doesn't wear down your knee joints, but injuries are something that will come back to haunt you.
Yes,
now
we skiers or former skiers tend to tear our ACLs, which I am a victim of from a very young age. But I didn't develop arthritis because I had a good orthopod back then named Dr. Jim Parks, who was the orthopod for the New York Mets. And he said to me, are you a professional athlete? I said, no. And at this time, I hadn't found physical culture yet. He goes, what do you like to do? I said, I like to run. He goes, okay. He goes, I want you to start doing squats and build up your quads. He goes, we're not going to open up your knee. We'll just watch it. He said, because once we open up that capsule joint, then you're going to develop arthritis someday. And to this day, I have no arthritis in my knee. I do have some lateral laxity there that if I get in the wrong place, I can feel the knee start to come apart a little bit. But, you know, squatting 400 and 500 pounds regularly has made my quad strong enough to super compensate for that.
Yeah, that's great foresight by the doctor.
Yeah, he said, you don't make a living in your sports. He said, you don't have to get back on the field. He says, let it heal. He says, and just make your quad stronger and you'll be fine. And I did that. And to this day, I have no, that was some of the soundest advice I'd ever gotten from a physician in my life. Okay, so now let's talk about something else that piqued my interest that you have here. Let's see here. Okay, I'm looking at all these questions. There's some really good ones. What about what I think when I'm exercising? This is actually something that I think about all the time. I actually believe that my state of mind affects the way my food affects my body. So you have here, what about what I think when I'm exercising? Is it important? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the next frontier of where we're going to make gains in physical performance. Is we're just scratching the surface of the role of the mind, both consciously and sort of unconsciously, how the brain influences us. So to give you an example, again from the running background, because that's where I come from.
Right.
We're often told, you know, focus on your form or focus on your breathing. So some German researchers actually decided to test that. They took three groups. One group told to focus on their running stride, their form. One group told to focus on their breathing. Not given in, you know, they weren't told to breathe in any particular way, just to focus on it. And a third group said, you know, just look at the scenery. Then they measured running economy, which is basically like the fuel economy of your car, how much energy you're burning to run at a given pace.
Right.
And the people who were focusing on their breathing had the worst running economy. The people who focused on their form were in the middle. And the people who were just, you know, looking around, not thinking about anything, actually were most efficient. So somehow, imagine, you know, it's hard to know exactly how or why, but they were most efficient and were propelling themselves forward with the least amount of energy just by not thinking about it. Now that doesn't mean that there's not times to focus, but it just tells us that there are times when it's best to let your body get on with something that it's very good at doing. At the same time, you know, another study that just came out a couple of weeks ago looked at the effects of heat. And, you know, it's summer's coming up and we're all sort of thinking about how heat affects our performance. They had one group exercising in cool temperatures, doing a time trial. Then another group in hot temperatures, and they did a lot worse, as we'd expect. The heat slowed them down. But then a third group, they had them exercising in cold temperatures, but they jerry-rigged the thermometers so it looked like the temperatures were a little cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually performed just as well as they had in the cool temperatures. So all they did was adjust the output of the rectal thermometer so that it read 3 degrees lower, and these people were able to cycle just as if the temperature was cold. So it's
perception.
Yeah, it's what's in your head, even when you're not even aware that it's in your head. You know, if you believe you're going to be slowed down by hot weather, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, if you believe you can do it, you're right. And if you believe you can't do it, you're also right.
You know, we've done shows on visualization and performance and We've done shows on the effects of the of what you think and how it affects your physiology. It's one of the reasons that I believe that when I sit down at a meal, I try to clear my mind of all of the if I have a preponderance of problems that day, I try to clear my mind before I eat, because I have this strong belief that if I'm stressed out and I eat food, it's not going to do the things I want it to do in my body as if I'm relaxed and enjoying the meal and so on. And so I have to believe you're right on the money here with a lot of this. We know that the mind is really so much more powerful than we can actually give it credit for when it comes to both strength output and physiology.
Yeah, and this is going to be, you know, this is going to be a really real challenge for scientists, because it's one of the examples, one of the areas where people's experience, I think, is way out ahead of the scientists and the experience of athletes and coaches. This isn't something that's easy to test, so we do have to. As much as I'm a fan of evidence and good experiments, we also have to trust experience and trust, you know, when you say you know how you feel or what state of mind you need to be in for your best performance or for your best health, it would be foolish to say, well, I don't see a peer-reviewed study that supports that, therefore I don't believe it, or something like that.
Are you familiar with Dr. David Hawkins?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, David Hawkins, years ago, did some research on strength output and what the person was thinking of at the moment. And he had a series of subjects. I have to dig it up. My good friend Randy Roach was the one who turned me on to Dr. David Hawkins' research. But he looked at, anger, resentment. He looked at revenge. He looked at all of these different emotions. And he had people perform a one-rep maximum after being fixated on a thought that evoked one of these emotions. And then he graded them on a scale and came up with a scale that shows that these thoughts produce the greatest effect on strength. And of course, love was like it. Like when someone thought about something or someone that they loved, they really tapped into that love. They really became energized with it. They almost felt, you know, like a surge of electricity through their body, and their maximum output of strength was the greatest of all.
That's good news, because there was a study at Harvard just last year where they somewhat similar. They asked people, they measured how long people could hold a weight up, and they, while doing so, they had to imagine either performing a heroic deed to help someone else out, or perform an evil deed where they were hurting someone else. And to everyone's chagrin, imagining performing a heroic deed allowed people to get stronger and hold the weight up for longer. But imagining themselves performing an evil deed, they got even stronger. That was even more powerful.
Right.
So the powerful emotions in either direction seem to be able to help us.
And you know what I would say to that? I would say that you would probably have to do some sort of a Kersey Bates test to each of those individuals before assigning them to a group. Because if you're the kind of person who's had a lot of bitter in your life, and you are motivated by bitter, then, you know what I mean? You're like, I'm going to show that girl who didn't want to date me that she missed out. I'm going to show the father who didn't want to stay in touch with me that he missed out. You know, if you have a lot of that bitter, then that becomes your predominant emotion, and that is what you attach all of your reasons for striving to, then I believe that you would probably respond better to the negative stimulus, as opposed to, you know, for lack of better terms, the positive stimulus being something heroic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and then if you're a kid who's raised in an environment where, you know, you believe in white knights and saving the damsel in distress and all that sort of stuff, I think you'll be motivated greatly. So that, again, when you start talking about the mind, the brain, it's so much harder to find absolute baselines to start with, because you have such a multitude of variables that interfere and interact with each other.
Yeah, I guess in that realm we all end up as an experiment of one, and we have to kind of try, you know, reach into our own minds and figure out where our buttons are.
How long did it take you to write this book?
It's been about 3 years that I've been working on it. I mean, it's at the back of the book. I cite about 400 peer-reviewed journal articles. So I've gone through and read the literature pretty thoroughly, and I've talked to about 100 of the scientists, and really trying to get a sense of what we actually know at this point. You know, lots of questions we still don't know the answer to, but there's lots where we're getting there.
I want to, when I come back, I want to ask how the research and writing this book changed your outlook. We're talking today with Alex Hutchison about his book, Which Comes First, Cardio or Weights? You can get a copy of the book at Amazon.com. It's a great book. I love books like this that dispel myths and just give you lots of raw facts to chew on. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse. CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with author Alex Hutchison about his new book, Which Comes First, Cardio or Weights? And I guess, as we said in the beginning of the show, it really just depends on your goals. Tell me what changed about your outlook. Obviously, you came from a running background, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you, first of all, before you tell me that, do you lift weights at all? Do you do any resistance training at all?
I do, although it's something that, so when I was competing at an elite level, I was lifting weights three times a week. I mean, you've got to be strong. I retired from elite competition in 2004. And at that point I was like, okay, you know, now I'm just going to have fun. I enjoy running. I'm going to run. I'm not going to worry so much about, you know, lifting weights and staying strong. And, you know, that it got to the point where I was already pretty skinny, but I got even skinnier. And researching this book was a real kick in the pants to remind me that even if I don't particularly care about the size of my biceps, just for health reasons, I need to make sure I'm lifting weights again. So I'm getting back on the horse, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm going to be strong enough so that, you know, in 10 years, I'll still be able to portage a canoe up on my head, or in 30 years, I'll be able to push myself out of my easy chair.
It's amazing that you say that, because earlier in the show, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to listen to the earlier portion of the show, but, you know, I always get into this debate with people about the word body building. And I don't mean bodybuilding, all one word, which is a competitive bodybuilder, but the word bodybuilding. And I say, you know, you have to constantly be building your body. It's all about upgrading and repairing your body like you would your home. And people are so worried about having enough money in the bank to last them into their golden years, but they forget that muscle is metabolic currency. And you can have $1 million in the bank and not be able to get yourself out of a chair. And guess where that million's going? It's going to an institution that's going to be changing your diaper till the day that you die.
Yeah, that's, and you know, I'm 35 right now, and that's about the time that muscle starts, that bank account starts getting drained away, whether you like it or not.
Right.
If you don't keep training, muscle just goes away, you know, 1 or 2% a year. And, you know, I don't have 1 or 2% to give, so I've gotta get serious about the weights. And that's something that really, you know, looking at the research and looking at the outcomes and the studies of, you know, old people who can no longer live independently, because they just don't have the functional strength. I was like, I don't want to be that guy. So, you know,
You know what? I'm with you. And that's been, you know, that's the underlying message of this show for 6.5 years. You know, I continue to get stronger as I get older. I'll be 53 in a week. My deadlift is better than it was when I was 10 years ago. My squat is better than it was 10 years ago. I train harder today than I did when I was in my 20s. And so as far as I'm concerned, we attribute strength with youth. So if you agree with that, then I'm getting stronger, so I must be getting younger. That's
yeah,
how I look at it.
There's some fascinating stuff. I have a chapter on aging and you know, how the body changes with aging. And talking to some of the researchers, what they're saying is just over the past few years, they're starting to reevaluate. You know, that they draw these curves of how much muscle you can expect to lose and how much endurance and how much speed and power you can expect to lose with each passing decade. And they're realizing, you know what? What we thought was a physiological phenomenon is actually to do with the amount of training. It's just that people don't train as hard. And
yeah.
So actually, this curve shouldn't look like your strength just kind of falls off a cliff after you turn 40. It should look more like a straight line. Yeah, you know, on average, it's going to go down as you get older, but it shouldn't be going down anywhere near as steeply as it is. And that's just because how many people who are 50 are training as hard as they were when they were 20?
Dr. Cassandra Forsythe was on the show last week, and I was talking to her about one of her blog posts. Does your metabolism slow down, or do we slow down? We slow down. You know, when you're young, she even says, you know, when you're young, you're walking to and from class, you're walking, you're dragging your laundry behind you to the laundromat, you go every place, you walk every place, you're active, you get older, you sit in a chair at your desk, you sit in a chair at home, you go to bed and you sleep. It's like, it's not because our metabolism doesn't slow down. We slow down and our metabolism adapts to it. It goes, well, you know what? We're not going to be doing this stuff anymore. We don't need as many mitochondria. We could do different things with this food now. We can just become fat and slovenly, and that's what happens.
That's exactly true. And you know, there's also some interesting studies they do with mice, where they sort of let them exercise as much as they want as time goes on, and they find that as the mice get older, that what they call the impulse to exercise gets a little lower. So, you know, it is, to be fair, it seems like the motivation to exercise drops a little as you get older, and so this is where understanding the stakes, understanding what's involved is so important. Because if you know that getting out and doing your workout as you get older is crucial to extending the, you know, the years that you're going to be happy and healthy. Then you can overcome this sort of, you know, when you're 10 years old, all you want to do is head out and run down the street. We kind of lose that carefree joy if we're not careful.
But you know what? There's another component here, and you can't ignore it. You know, and it's hormonal. When we're young, as an organism, it's our objective to stay alive long enough to procreate. And then once we procreate as an organism, we're supposed to evacuate the planet so that we can make room for those that we just brought into the world. And that's every organism on the planet, from a single cell amoeba all the way on up to us. That's our job. And those hormones that are racing through our bodies, and when we're 10 and 15 going through puberty, and 21 we're having children, and 30 when we're starting to get into the, hey, it's time to pack your bags and leave the planet mode. The hormones in our bodies are messengers. And the message early on is repair, stay healthy, you got to procreate, repair, keep building, keep growing, you got to procreate. Then after we hit that 30 mark, it's like, okay, you did your job, the hormones start to secede. They say, hey, you know what, you don't have to repair anything anymore because you're really not going to be here that much longer. Why waste the energy? And that's when interventional endocrinology, as like my good friend Dr. Mark Gordon likes to call it, is paramount. In 2007, I got on testosterone. And before that, I didn't have the emotional energy to train hard anymore. I was powerlifting, and I was going, man, I don't think I can do this anymore. And when I started testosterone therapy, my mental outlook, the analogy I gave to people was, imagine living in a warehouse, and there's 100 bright light bulbs, and one year, a bulb goes out. Every year, one bulb goes out. By the time you hit 40, 40% of the bulbs are out. But because it was one bulb a year, you don't really notice it. Then somebody comes in and puts all the dead bulbs and replaces them with new ones. And you go, holy mackerel, is this how bright it used to be in here? That's what happens. And so I do say, you can't just leave it. It's not enough just to say, okay, I'm going to exercise like a 25-year-old when I'm 40. You won't be able to. But if you look at hormonal optimization initially to maintain high levels, and then when they start to drop and you can't do anything else about it, look to replacement. That basically overrides the normal, hey, it's time to evacuate the planet message with, hey, you're still thriving. Keep repairing things. You're going to be here for a while longer.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I can feel the difference in I still train and I still race, but I don't have the fire that I had even 10 years ago to want to get out there and hurt myself in workouts and really get out there and race. And you're right, you know, it's an evolutionary truth, I think. And I think there are different paths to that you can follow. You know, since I come from a competitive running background, you know, we had a very strict list of banned substances. So for me, it's hard to make the leap to some of those things that I've known were banned for competition. But you're right. You know, it's not just that we get lazy. It's, the body is changing, and you have to take steps to make sure you can you can deal with that evolution of your body.
I would hope that you've given me a great gift today by coming on the show and talking to my listeners about some of this stuff. I hope that you can come away from the show with a gift, and it's a renewed desire to examine hormone replacement therapy. Because while you might not be ready for it now, when you hit 40, you will be. And I'm telling you, the profound benefits of testosterone therapy are so great. As for men, men with low testosterone die the soonest, period. There's so many epidemiological studies out there. And I know we've actually done shows that blow holes in research. We show how research can be skewed. But the reality is these results have been reproduced time and time again in one longitudinal study produced by the California Veterans Administration, over 16,000 men over 20 years, the men with the lowest testosterone levels died the soonest of a variety of causes, all related to low testosterone levels. So if there's anything that I would hope that you come away from this show is to renew the enthusiasm about investigating hormone replacement therapy, because it's not going to make you live longer, but what it will do is put more life in your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Okay, stay tuned. We're going to pick it up when we come back with Alex Hutchinson. We'll be right back.
David from the city walked into the door. I turned around when I heard
Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking to Alex Hutchison, author of Which Comes First, Cardio or Weights. I love these types of books, these Mythbusters. I mean, I'm a big fan of the show Mythbusters for this reason. I love people who take the time to do the research and give us definitive answers on questions that are important to us that we can't get definitive answers on quite often. And this book does it. It's a great book. Caffeine is a big problem in this country today. I like to call this caffeine nation. Every place we turn, there is some sort of stimulant in a drink, in a food. Caffeine and performance, what's your opinion, especially coming from a running background where I have to believe caffeine played a role in running as well, right?
Well, I have a two-sided answer. I never used caffeine, and I don't drink coffee. It's not something I've ever used in any form. Unfortunately, maybe who knows what I could have been if I'd used it, because there's no doubt that it's the best performance enhancer there is. And it's not just, you know, everyone knows you get a boost, a mental boost from caffeine. But if you attach an electrode to your arm, take some caffeine, give yourself a jolt of electricity, those muscles will contract more powerfully than if you hadn't taken caffeine. So that has nothing to do with the brain. That's right at the muscle level, caffeine.
Right.
So it's on all levels, strength, endurance, power. Caffeine is where it's at. That being said, I've never been I've just never been a coffee guy or a caffeine guy, so I never tried it.
I can tell you that there's a point of diminishing returns with caffeine. Caffeine, when taken too much, too high of a quantity, can actually give you a very washed out feeling, almost the kind of feeling that you get when, you know, if you've ever been in a situation where something was about to go down and you were ready for it, like something really horrendous and you were ready for it, and then all of a sudden it dissipated, you almost feel tired, like you want to go to sleep because you had this surge of adrenaline. You were like on the edge of exploding, and then all of a sudden it just goes away and you're like exhausted. Too much caffeine can do that to you too. It can just kind of wash you out. I've experimented with caffeine when I was powerlifting, and I found that small doses, like 200 milligrams, the equivalent of that's in a cup of coffee, of caffeine anhydrous, had a great effect on me. But when I started pushing up to 300 and 400 milligrams, it had exactly the opposite effect on me. And maybe I'm ADD. Maybe that's why, you know, maybe I'm actually an ADD and it has that opposite effect on me when it's taken in high doses. I know that kids who are ADD take Ritalin and they relax. So who knows?
Yeah, it's interesting. And for sure the research is a little weak on, you know, you take too much and who knows what's going to happen. But the other thing to point out is caffeine and coffee aren't the same thing.
Why?
There's caffeine in coffee, but there's a whole lot of other things, a whole lot of bioactive ingredients in coffee. And you know, really, you look at different cups of coffee, they have different ingredients, and it's hard to know exactly how they'll react. So I talked to some researchers who've done studies on coffee, and the results are conflicting. Some of them actually find exactly the same benefits from coffee as from taking caffeine in pill form. Some of them don't find the same. Some of them actually don't find a performance-enhancing effect from coffee, and that's, you know, clearly coffee it does, you know, in some cases help. But you just never know what you're getting in a cup of coffee. If you want a reliable boost to your performance with a dose that you know how much caffeine you're getting, you should stick to the pill form.
Yeah, caffeine anhydrous. You can buy it in bulk powder, which is really dangerous for a guy like me because back in the day, I'll tell you a funny story real quick, and then I'll move on to the next question. I was taking 400 milligrams of caffeine anhydrous first thing in the morning, and then drinking a cup or two of coffee, driving my kids to school, and then going into the gym and training. This is when I was powerlifting. And one morning, I must have taken a little bit too much caffeine anhydrous or drank a little bit too much coffee. I was standing outside talking to a neighbor who had stopped in front of the house while I was walking the dog. And all of a sudden, while I'm standing next to his car, I had to catch my breath. I was like, and then all of a sudden, I said to him, look, I got to go. I had this urge to start running, and I had to run. I had to actually run the energy off. This is the God's honest truth. And it wasn't until years later that I found out that, you know what they do? Premature babies are prone to apnea, but not obstructive apnea, where you're periods of non-breathing, because they're not ready to breathe. They're supposed to still be in the amniotic fluid. Do you know what they give preemies to keep them breathing?
I'm going to guess caffeine.
Yeah, small doses of caffeine.
No kidding.
And once I read that, I thought to myself, that's what that was that morning. I was gasped for air, and then I just started running. I had to get rid of this energy, and it was the caffeine anhydrous that was running through my body. It electrified me. So anyway.
That's powerful.
All right. Another question that you answer here, and this is probably the last question we'll be able to get to in the interview, but I think it's a good question to close on because it's something that perplexes me all the time. And keep in mind, for those of you listening to the show, there are a lot of really good myths busted in this book. I'm just trying to get to some of the ones that interest me more, but this is a great book that you can get at Amazon.com. It's called Which Comes First, Cardio or Weights? I've always thought, because I boxed when I was a kid, and I remember, even though when I was boxing I was way too young, I remember the coach used to tell the older teenagers he didn't want them to have sex the night before a fight. Because he said it slowed you down and made you tired. And now that I fast forward to my understanding of the endocrine system, I understand that oxytocin and as well as prolactin are produced after an orgasm, and they are definitely relaxing hormones. What role does having sex, or more importantly, an orgasm have pre-workout, let's say the night before, or even the morning of?
Well, it's obviously a topic of endless fascination. And there have been studies of this kind of thing, and they look for effects on things like grip strength. And they don't really find big results, and probably that's because these studies aren't sensitive enough, and because, like you said, they're looking at night before sex, whereas, you know, there are some tales out there of some very famous athletes who liked to have an orgasm, you know, literally half an hour before.
Yeah, like Will Chamberlain, probably, right?
Yeah, well, that's just a scheduling matter.
You
have to get
them
all in. But you know, if you look at the studies and if you think about it, I think what comes out is that the psychology of it is probably more important than the physiology.
Bingo.
You know, some people need to be psyched up to be in their optimal performance zone. Some people need to be relaxed because they're already too tightly wound. And sex can have different effects on different people. For some people, it is a relaxing thing. You know, you roll over and go to sleep. For some people, it gets them more pumped up. So you need to figure out how sex affects you and how your particular, you know, sexual patterns. Whether you're in a committed relationship or whether you're going to be out in a bar, in a bar till 3 a.m. looking for someone, and how your personal psychology relates to where you need to be. Competition or workout time.
Well, what about what we talked about at the beginning of the show? What you think is what you perceive is what you get. What for those people who think that sex will rob them of strength? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But those who think that sex actually makes them stronger, once again, they get what they think they're going to get.
Yeah, there was a great study published last year on how lucky charms and superstitions actually work, and they did a whole bunch of different tests. One of them was they had people do golf putting. And for some of the people, they handed them the golf ball and said, here you go, this has been the lucky ball so far. And for other people, they handed them the ball and just said, here's the ball everyone else has used. And the people who were getting the lucky ball putted at a higher percentage. Just the perception that something works for you or that it's been lucky even for other people makes you perform better because it increases your confidence, and you act as if you're going to succeed, and then you do succeed. So, absolutely. If you're worried that I probably shouldn't have sex tonight because I'll be up a little late, and my legs will be tired, and then you've probably messed yourself up. But if you think I'm an animal, I need to have sex tonight because that's what I do on Friday night.
Yeah.
Then the next morning you're going to be an animal and you're going to be ready to go.
My problem is I generally, like so many men, I like to have sex in the morning and then I go to the gym right after that. But I have to be honest, while I do believe that maybe prolactin and oxytocin are relaxing hormones, once I get into the gym and my hands touch the weights, it's business, and I push right through it. And I don't think I can honestly sit here and say, yeah, I'm definitely weaker after having sex. I don't think so.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's a really good big message to end on, which is that we, you know, people like me and you, we're very interested in these subtle effects that happen from any number of, you know, how we act, what we think, what we put in our bodies. But at a certain point, you can't get too hung up on whether you've lost 0.5% here and there, because there are a lot more factors, and you just got to be confident in what you're doing, believe in yourself, and be doing the right things overall, and not get too hung up in the details.
Well, also, so many of us strive to live lives that are so rigid, like professional athletes do, like Olympic athletes do, and we're not Olympic athletes. We're average people with jobs and families and girlfriends and kids and stuff. And one of the mistakes I made early on in my journey to physical culture, which I think we all do this, I think anybody who comes from a place where you're sick and you're dying and you save your own life, you come to believe in physical culture and nutrition so strongly that you become a zealot for a while. And you're so rigid. No, I can't do that. I won't do this. I will not drink wine. You know, and you do that. But then all of a sudden, when you get past that phase and you realize, hey, I'm not an Olympic athlete. I'm just an average guy. And I want to be able to live a normal life and enjoy life at the same time. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to stick to this. And then you kind of loosen up. And so some days I go, you know what? I think the sex was more important this morning than whether or not I can eke out a last rep on that squat. And I'm going to have sex instead, and I'm going to go train as hard as I can, and I'm going to do both in one day instead of just, oh, no, I have to forfeit this to get that.
Yeah, and in the end, like you said, it's all about being sustainable. There's no point in you know, living like you're in a monastery, and then after 5 years you decide that this is crap, and you don't keep it up. So it's the big patterns that are more important than the, you know, the data, you know, whether you do something quote unquote wrong, you know, on any given day. It's what you do week in week to week, month to month, and year to year.
How much is the book, Alex?
The book is, I think, in stores, it's just under $15. On Amazon, it's actually $9.87.
Wow.
I think. So,
wow.
A bargain at twice the price.
Buy a book. Spend the book. You know what? This is the first time I've ever done two interviews on two books. Let's go out and buy these books. Let's show these authors some love, because if you're not reading this sort of stuff, you're not progressing. You're just doing the same thing week in and week out. And guess what? Your body's going to show that. You're not going to look any different a year from now. And like Dr. Peter Rouse says, he reads 3 to 4 books a week. The only difference between you and a doctor are the fact that he reads these books filled with this information. So if you're reading 2-3 books a week, guess what? You're going to be just as smart as some doctors about this type of information. So go out and pick up Alex Hutchinson's book, Which Comes First, Cardio or Weights, at Amazon.com, and he'll help you bust some of the myths that maybe are holding you back as well. Alex, thanks so much for being on Superhuman Radio.
Carl, thank you. It was a really interesting conversation, and I know I learned stuff too.
Oh, there you go. Hopefully a year from now I'll have a conversation with you and you'll have been exploring hormone replacement therapy.
I'll be ripped.
Okay, there you go. There you go. All right, thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Carl.
Hi, and I also want to thank my other guests, Glenn Elmers and Doug Miller, also another book, Biology for Bodybuilders. Go on, buy both of these books. You know, let's show Oprah. You know, the women have Oprah. And this, my female audience, I don't mean to isolate anybody here. But Oprah is educating people. She's off the air. Let's pick up the torch and run with it. Let's educate people about diet and nutrition so we can be a disease-free country once and for all. Go out and pick up both of these books. I'll see you tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.